Okay, I'd like us to turn back again in our Bibles to John chapter 10. Four times in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ calls himself the door. He said, "Verily, verily, verse 1, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." We spoke last week about the wonder of those sheepfolds in that part of the world. They had these high walls around them, and there was a door that was fixed, and a good number of shepherds would have their sheep in there, and then the shepherds would come in the morning, having the sheep, having been locked up and guarded by the porter all night, and the shepherds would come in the morning, and then they would call their sheep. And all of Stephen's sheep would go out and wander in one direction, and Graham's sheep would go in another direction, and John's sheep would go in another direction, and they'd all follow the sound of the shepherd. The shepherd's voice was heard. The shepherd's voice was heard. He says down in verse 7, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 9, "I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." There is a door, isn't it? The door to that tomb is called a door, isn't it? The door to the sepulchre was opened on that extraordinary Lord's Day morning when the Lord Jesus Christ was there revealed, and he then showed himself to his disciples, his people for the next 40 days. A door was opened. A door was opened not just for us to look in, but for us to see that he has risen. All of the sins of all of God's people were laid on this shepherd, and he entered in. He entered into death for us, and he was put in that tomb for us. And not a single cell of his body was corrupted. And it's an amazing thing to think what it must have been like that morning when he woke up. And obviously he was in no hurry, because he took those clothes off and folded them up. And out of that tomb came a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Resurrected. Sin gone. Sin gone. Sin put away. And now there is a door. And how much and how poignant it must have been for those disciples to know that that door spoke of their salvation. They didn't have a clue what was being said that day, and they didn't know that night. They were living in fear of the Jews, and they were wandering around, and the Lord Jesus Christ gathered those sheep together and revealed himself in all of these glorious pictures. The great shepherd of the sheep, he wanders over hill and dale to get them. He can't lose any of them. They were given to him by his Father. But he came in extraordinary humility, and he speaks of himself in extraordinary humility. He whom the angels adored in heaven for all that time since they were created came to this earth, and he came in extraordinary humility, a baby born in a manger to a disgraced mother and father, and lived a life of obscurity as a carpenter, and no one knew much about him other than that event when he was 12 years old when he went to the temple and said, "I must be about my Father's business." And yet, in all of that humility, he was God almighty all of the time, God with us. What humility, what condescension of the Lord for him to come to where we are, to be made one with us, sin excluded, that we might be taken back to where he is, that we might be taken back to glory. He was humble, wasn't he? He was humbled as no other man was ever humbled. And here he is, he uses this image of a door. He says, "I am the door. I am the door. And if you come and enter in and go out by me, you'll have eternal life." And there's no other way of entry into heaven. There's no other way of entry into eternal life but by him. But it's lovely to think, isn't it, that the door is common. And we can think of him in every coming and going. We can think of him in all the events of life. And the sheepfold door was no doubt a strong door, but it was probably the lowest and most common form of door. All it needed to do was be perfectly strong and perfectly fit the hole that it had to go in and be perfectly secure. That's all it had to be. It didn't have to be a fancy door. It didn't have to be like the Gate Beautiful at Jerusalem. It didn't have to be the fancy doors that we think of around the place these days. It was just a common door. A number of planks of wood stuck together. But how much we ought to be thankful that not only is the Lord the door, but there is a door. There is a door of access to heaven. One of the things that we lost sight of when we fell in our father Adam and we sinned against God and took the poison of Satan into our veins is that we lost sight of what it was for God to be holy, and we lost complete sight of what it was for us to be sinners. And the thieves and robbers rob God of his glory and rob us of our need by saying that we have a free will and we can do things and we can get into heaven on the basis of what Jesus did if we help him along. This is not what the Saviour is saying in John chapter 6 and 8 and 10 and all the other verses of the scripture. He never ever says that. This is a door. This is the door, because of him, because of me, by me, if any man enter in. There is a door, there is a way back for sinners into the presence of God. And we won't know, we won't glorify the wonder of the Saviour unless we know how difficult the entry into heaven is. We think that it's an easy thing to get back into heaven. Look what you have to do to get to the tree of life. In Genesis chapter 3, I'll read it to you for want of time. But the Lord God expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. He expelled them, Genesis 3:23. If you want to know what's going on in this world, you want to know what salvation's about, you need to know what the fall is. You need to know who God is. And he sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken, and he drove the man out. He drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, and he placed on the east side of the garden, where the sun rises, cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. If you're going to have your life eternal, if you're going to live with God, you have to get to the tree of life. And the picture in Genesis 3 is a powerful picture, isn't it? That sword is the flaming sword of God's justice, and it's a flaming, flashing sword. It's a brandishing sword. It's a whirling sword. It whirls with such ferocity that flames come out of it. It's a flaming sword, a whirling sword, and it's a flashing and brandishing sword, and it's to guard. It means to protect. To protect as a watchman, to keep the way of the tree of life. Who's the way? The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. He's the way. And this way to the tree of life is guarded by this flaming sword. You have to get past the flaming sword to get to the tree of life. The flaming sword is pictured gloriously in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in that promise. One of the last promises in the Old Testament is that promise in Zechariah 13, where God says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, against the man that is my companion." This is God the Father declaring what was happening on the cross. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd." Why? Because there was sin on the shepherd. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. There was sin on the shepherd. If you want to see God's holiness dealing with sin, you just need to go to the cross. If you want to go and see God's justice, that flaming sword of God's justice, you need to go to the cross. There's one place to go to see who we are, to see who God is, and to see how God saves sinners. "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." That's exactly what happened that day when the Lord Jesus Christ was smitten. And then God says, I will turn my hand upon the little ones. It means he'll turn his hand of love and grace and mercy upon the little ones. He'll gather the little ones in his arms again. There is a way to the tree of life. And the way to the tree of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a door that's opened in heaven. There is a door. There is an access. We have access now. Through him, we have access to the tree of life. We have access into the presence of the holy, holy, holy God Almighty. It says in Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. This is the fellowship that we have in him. And the intent of that is that the... Now in Ephesians 3:10, that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. How wise is our God? How manifold is his wisdom? How wise for our God to find a way where he could be a just God and a saviour, where he could honour all of his holiness and all of his attributes in the death of his son and in the glorious resurrection of his son. Millions of people this weekend are hearing about a crucified man 2,000 years ago, aren't they? And millions of people around the world, and I've checked in all the ones that I've had easy access to, and not one of them has told me why he died. Not one of them has told me. All they want to do is say that Jesus died for the sins of the world. Well, if you know what that means, according to the scriptures, how that Jesus died for us, according to the scriptures, then they wouldn't say all of the things that they go on to say. And then Christianity becomes a social welfare program. We have to do the best we can to make this society better. That's not what he came for. He came to save his sheep. He came to save his people from their sins. And he did it. He did it. And that's why he can say, with this manifold wisdom, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. We have access with trust. We have access with persuasion. We have access by the faith of him. This is the door, isn't it? These promises in John chapter 10 are promises sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We have access. We have access through that sword, because the sword slayed the shepherd. It was buried into the heart of the shepherd. And the sword of God's justice slew everyone who was in him at the same time. We've been crucified with Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. And our sins have received the just and complete punishment that a holy God requires of them. And they're gone. That's what it is to be justified. I have never sinned is what it is to be justified, because all of my sins, past, present and future, were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ by God himself. And they were punished. That's what the cross is all about. And that's what the glory of the resurrection is all about. It's finished. It's finished, brothers and sisters. We have access now. We have access with confidence. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing, the humility of our Lord to come and to be a door. He calls himself just a vine, doesn't he? He calls himself the light, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There is access. And there is just one door. And there's no point looking for another door. There is only one door. And it's a sheep door. And it's a sheep door. It's exactly the shape of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's exactly the tenor of his perfect righteousness and holiness. That's the door, isn't it? He is the door. There's no salvation in any other name. There's no point going anywhere else to look for it. There is just one door. The door is a narrow door. And very few, according to this door, find that door. He says, enter ye in. At least he says enter. It's not wonderful there. God says enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate. Constrained. The gate is the perfect shape of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you found it, it's a precious door. He's a precious door of access into heaven. He's precious. The door, of course, is a person. He says again and again, I am the door. I am the door, John 7. I am the door of the sheep, John 9. I am the door. He came as one of us to be one with us, that we might be one with him in glory. The door fills the entrance perfectly, and there's no way to sneak in. There's not a tiny gap, is there? The door is perfectly secure. The door is strong. It's strong enough to secure those who are inside. And the porter and the shepherd are strong enough to prevent the thieves and the robbers coming in. There is a door. There is a door. That door is open. The door is opened every time the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. The door is open while ever the sun shines and this earth revolves. There is a door open. There is a door opened. The door secures. Just like Noah's Ark, there was a great door in Noah's Ark. And who shut the door? God shut the door. God shut them in. And then, having shut them in and secured them in there and sealed that ark with the pitch that represents the blood and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were safe and secure, and all the wrath of God fell on them in that ark. But it was all absorbed. It was all absorbed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're safe. If you're inside the sheepfold, you're safe. So how is the door used? It's not used by those who simply look at it and admire it. The Jews saw the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all it did was make them more responsible for their wickedness in rebellion. It's not used by those who walk by and admire it and look at it and know all the details of it and know all the details of the sheepfold. It's only those, it's only used by those who enter in by faith, enter in by him, into that love and into that experience of communion with him. There is just one qualifying need, isn't it? They entered in. To use this door, they enter in. I love what he says in John chapter 10, verse 9. Is he said, I am the door, if and by me, because of me, if any man... Do you fit that demographic? Any man? Any woman? Are you a whosoever? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. A whosoever. I am the door. Whosoever. Just listen to the privileges of those who enter in by the door. There is salvation. Listen to it. Listen to what our Lord promised. This is why the resurrection is so glorious, isn't it? Because all of these promises are signed and sealed in his blood and triumphantly proclaimed in his resurrection. If any man, if by me, if because of me, if any man enter into heaven, enter into the tree of life, enter into glory, enter into the presence of God, he shall be saved. He shall be saved. Not that he'll save himself and help me to save himself by something he does. He shall be saved. By him, all of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be saved. And then there's a glorious liberty, isn't it? He shall be saved and shall go in and out. He shall go in and out. There's access, isn't it? There's continual access into the presence of God. There's nothing, nothing between my Saviour and me. Nothing between. Nothing. He shall go in and go out. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. We have access. They shall go in. We can go in to beg with him and to plead with him and to have fellowship with him, to receive instruction from him, to enjoy communion with him. And we can go out into this world in service. We can go out into this world in the very presence of him. And one of my favourite verses in the scripture is in John 12:26, and I'll read it to you. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. You cannot, child of God, walk a step in this world for a millisecond outside of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. He rules and reigns and protects his. You'll go out and you'll come in. And listen to what else you'll do. And you shall find pasture. You'll have nourishment. Our spiritual food is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in fellowship with him. And it's in fellowship with those who are in him as well. The door says, come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come. Come is the call of the gospel, isn't it? Come now. Come now and don't move a muscle. Come now. The great door of that tomb was opened, not to enable the Lord to leave, but to see that he was perfectly resurrected. And he came and met with those disciples that night, and they could eat with him, and they could walk with him, and they could talk with him, and they could be taught by him, and they could have conversation. And he revealed himself to them. He revealed himself to those two on the road to Emmaus with the breaking of bread. He revealed himself to Mary as he spoke her name, Mary. What a word, what a name, how she must have felt. There were lots of Marys in Israel at the time, lots of Marys in Jerusalem. It's the name of Moses' sister Miriam. There were lots of them, but there's only one. There's only one that heard that word that day. Other Marys did in time, but it was always, the call of our Lord is always personal, it's always particular, and it's always powerful. He rose. That door was opened and he rose. Death couldn't hold him any longer. Or the only reason for death removed is now removed, and it can never come back again. The sword of God's holy justice, the sword of God's holy justice demands our salvation, brothers and sisters in Christ. The very attributes of God which terrify the sinner are the very attributes of God which give God all the glory and us all the comfort. God's holiness and God's justice means that he cannot punish sin in his Son and ever punish it again, which is why a holy God can come and live in his people. All that he died for are perfectly fit recipients for a holy God to live in them, to nourish them, to cause them to come in and go out and to find pasture. He comes, and I love what we read earlier about what he said to Mary. The risen Lord says, I go to my Father and your Father. When you come into the sheepfold by the door, we are joint heirs with Christ, and we come in him, and we are loved as he is loved, and we are cherished as he is cherished. There is nothing in us that causes the holy God to do anything other than embrace us and warmly regard us as his own. My Father and your Father, said the Lord Jesus Christ. My God and your God. They must enter in. They must enter in. They enter into the sheepfold. They enter into the tree of life. They enter in by a great and glorious shepherd. He says, "Wherefore, brethren," Peter, 2 Peter 1:10. "Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, there is a door. There is just one door. It's a door of entrance. It's a door that says, "Come and welcome the Lord Jesus Christ." It's a door which he speaks of, a door which he promises. "They shall come in and go out. They shall be saved and they shall find pasture." Heavenly Father, please bless your words and please cause us to rejoice that there is a door, and help us, Heavenly Father, to be those that just enter in by that door. Through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have perfect access into heaven, seated now in heavenly places. Our Father, we pray that we would rejoice in the glorious things the Lord Jesus Christ has won and established forever for his people. We pray in his name and for his glory. Amen.